One of the things that's very, very scary in our country is we know that we have the highest incidence of drownings for children between the ages of 2 and 5 years old. So they are very vulnerable and enormously at risk. I think it's really, really an essential life skill.
What is the difference between drown-proofing and a soft method of teaching kids to swim?
The drown-proofing is when people teach children quickly, they force them under the water, and the children kind of have to
throw them into the deep side of the pool and say, swim, yeah, and they swim.
Absolutely, and they're kind of left to their own devices. What we do in the soft method, which is the method that I would definitely advocate, is we use a gentle approach to swimming. We teach them through fun, through games, through songs. The parents are involved. And it's a really positive experience where we equip the children to have options so that should they get into a body of water, they think, right, what can I do? How do I get myself out of this situation? And we equip them.
If they have that fear,
definitely,
that causes other problems again, doesn't it?
Absolutely, Amanda. And that fear is very often a result of the drown-proofing. I have worked with so many children who are terrified around water, and that doesn't achieve much. So you get the short-term aim of, okay, they're going to stay away from the water. But the reality is that that's not a good long-term goal.
No.
We would like them to develop a healthy respect for water, to learn to understand water and to feel the water so they can enjoy the water. We live in a country where water is an enormous part of our lives.
And kids love swimming because of the heat.
They do.
It's a nice way to cool off.
Very much so. And I think many people go to swimming lessons with the thinking around, my child's going to go to a gala or my child's going to become an Olympic champion. But there's so much more to swimming. You know, swimming opens many doors. And how often do we go to someone's houses, to our friends' homes,
and they've got pools.
Yes, they have pools, and we swim, and that's part of life.
True. At what age should I start with water safety for my child, and what does it entail?
So we normally suggest that you start at about 6 months old.
Really?
At 6 months, a baby's got good head control, both children. If they haven't, we can work around it with special ways of holding the children to give them the correct support in the water. At 6 months, their sensory systems have integrated to a degree where they can manage a busy pool environment with lots of noise and lots of stimulation. And at 6 months, their immune system is able to cope with what is essentially a public space if you go into swimming lessons. And then what we would say is that the parents get in the pool. That's our number one way of teaching. So the parents get in and we guide the parents through a series of holds, maneuvers, ways in which to assist the children in the pool. In the beginning, they're going to be aided enormously. And as we go through the process, then we teach them to do more and more independently. We teach them to do things like roll over and float on their back so they can rest. Things like tuck their knees in so they can stand if the water's shallow enough, get their heads out the water. Things like holding on to the side, moving along the side to a point where I can stand or perhaps climb out of the pool so that I learn how to help myself when I'm in the water.
Well, if a child falls into a pool unexpectedly you haven't noticed and your child can float, that could save that child's life.
Very much so. And a lot of the initial learning is about buying you time as the adult who's supervising children. So that you can realize, something's happened. I need to react. And you can then go and help that child. Sometimes, and I think this is important, is that you might find that the adult who's supervising the child gets into trouble or difficulty of some sort in the water. So it's important to equip those children to help themselves. It's no good that they just roll over and float and then just wait. Because for how long are they going to wait for help? Yeah. If they can actually move themselves through the water to get to a point where they can get out, call for help and act, that's much, much better option than just lying and waiting for something to happen.
Mm. What are the risks?
There are definitely risks involved in teaching swimming. And because of that, I would recommend that you ask the swimming teacher who you approach for their qualification certificate. They need to have a recognized swimming qualification. If you're going to work with children between the ages of 0 and 3 years old, you're going to get a different certificate to the one you would get if you're working from 3 years and up. So depending on the age of the children, you must ask for that certificate. Every swimming teacher should have a first aid level 1 certificate. They should carry the appropriate insurance and those kind of things to keep themselves up to date. So I would definitely ask that. The reason is that if you work with children in water, once you're in water, you're exposed to hydrostatic pressure. And we need to understand the biological functioning of a child at different stages of development to ensure that we can safely work with them in the water, develop their skills, but not put them at risk where, for example, the hydrostatic pressure is so hard and forceful on their cardiorespiratory system that they're actually putting their life at risk. So there is risk, and I think if you go to someone who's qualified with a recognized certificate, you can do it in a very positive, safe environment.
How effective are tubes and wings?
So tubes I would stay clear of. Those are what, when I grew up, we used to call Bentley belts.
Yes.
They're actually not made anymore because what happened was the children would tip upside down and then they head under the water and their feet up in the air and they can't right themselves because of this big tube around them. So tubes are a definite no-no. Water wings, on the other hand, or they're also known as armbands and little back floats, are a great asset in the swimming pool because when you hold a child in the water, you can help them feel safe, but you limit their experience of the water and all the forces of the water around them. If you give them the wings, you literally give them the wings to try and fly by themselves and develop their independence. And through that moving independently in the water, they grow so much in their own ability to manage their bodies in the water.
And the noodles?
Noodles definitely can work. Again, with the younger children, we find that they struggle to hold onto them. So they tend to just sort of slip off the noodle.
Mm.
Water wings or backpacks are safer because they're fitted around their arms or around their little bodies. Once children get older, then yes, noodles would be more suitable. So from sort of 3, 3.5, where children can more easily follow an instruction and hold on without letting go, noodles would definitely work as well. Whatever equipment you use must be used under adult supervision. It doesn't replace the responsible eyes that are watching the children in the water.
That's true.
Mm.
You have to have adult supervision because you want your child to be safe. Don't think because you've got a noodle or you've got a tube or you've got this or that, that your child's safe, because an accident happens just like that.
Accidents, by definition, yeah, it's not what somebody wants to see happen. And I think that even as an adult, you shouldn't be swimming on your own, you know, unsupervised. You should always go into a body of water with someone else around you, either watching you or swimming next to you. Particularly, I think, as we're leading into our December holidays, we as swimming instructors are always quite anxious around this time to emphasize the importance of learning to understand the water that you're around and making sure that you're supervised. You know, if you've been to a beach last year and you're going to the same beach this year, the water will have changed, the currents will be different, the beach where the sand is high and the beach is shallow and the sand is low and the beach is deep, that all changes. Rocks that weren't exposed last year might well be exposed. So I think you need to be cautious.
What should I as a parent remember after my child's learned to swim?
I think remember that learn to swim is a process, so our expectations need to be realistic. One of the things we find with drownings is that people overestimate the person's ability to cope in the situation. And so I think that parents must have realistic expectations. It's a process.
Mm.
Nobody learns to walk in one day or learns to talk in one day. It's a practice makes perfect kind of exercise. And swimming is the same kind of exercise. So I think realistic expectations and an understanding of that. And I think the other thing is to make sure that when you take your children to swimming lessons, ensure that you check on that qualification for the instructor. That's super important.
Yes.